when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
One of the reasons why it can be really difficult for us to be consistent with our habits and consistent with, you know, moving forward with the goals that we've set for ourselves is that we self-sabotage.
100% every day doesn't look the same.
So yeah, one of the ways that I self-sabotage is having pent up resentment towards myself for missing the mark.
And for us, we think, no, but that's not impressive. Are we trying to be impressive or are we trying to last?
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about overcoming failure.
Ooh, good one.
Setbacks, self-sabotage, all of the stuff that is keeping the girls in the dumps. Now I really wanted to talk about this today because obviously it's January, we're getting into February, and I feel that a lot of people are losing momentum,
right? Okay.
And you know, we often start the year off really, really strong, and then we wait to kind of regather that momentum maybe in the middle of the year, the end of the quarter. So I really wanted to deal with overcoming setbacks, failures. We had this vision of where we wanted to be by the end of the month, and some of us are falling short.
How 100%
myself included, how the heck
how did we get here?
Speaking to myself, how do we overcome? We'll be dealing with all of that and more.
I love that.
But before we do that, I believe we have some housekeeping.
We do. Well, we are going to be in South Africa in February. TMS live show in South Africa is happening. We released the tickets last week. We're recording this episode a bit earlier than we typically do, so we don't know if there are tickets left. But if there are, the link is in the description. Shout out to the SA sisters who came through. The love has been crazy. I know so many of you have been requesting, okay, but what about Cape Town? What about Durban? Girls, we hear you. We hear you.
We can't be in 10
we
places.
We are just limited human beings with a very, you know, small but effective team. And so let's just see how Johannesburg goes. If you could meet us out there, it would be absolutely amazing to see you. We cannot wait to hug you, talk some real talk in that room, for you to meet the sisters who are coming on the TMS retreat trip, who will also be at the show, and just to have some good old sisterly love. We do know that some of you said that the ticket prices were a bit high, and we are so grateful actually for that feedback, for sure, because we obviously don't know. We don't live in South Africa. We don't know what like the economy, the how the currency moves and stuff like that. So we kind of just went with our like standard ticket pricing for live shows, and the feedback was absolutely amazing. We are definitely not above feedback. We want to hear how we can make it work for everybody. We want our sisterhood to be inclusive whilst also, you know, operating as an effective business. And so we have heard your feedback, and so you'll be getting information in your inbox as well and across socials about how, you know, we can bring that cost down a little bit. So just thank you so much for your patience, thank you for your understanding, and we can't wait to be out there.
Honestly cannot wait to be out there, sisters. We have heard you and we are yielding.
We are,
obviously, transparently, we don't take money out of this.
No, we don't.
Business, this organ, we are doing this from, you know, our hearts.
Our hearts.
We are doing this from our hearts, and honestly we wanted to make this a cost effective but also a great opportunity for you girls. So even if it means that we might have to take the hit, we'll take the hit just to see the ladies.
To be
so
very
please.
Honest with you, even with the original ticket price, we were still taking a considerable hit, but the love from SA is really worth putting on something really good. And shout out to our partners, Sorticelle, for even making this thing happen.
For sure.
Girls, with this global economy, we're all just trying to do our little bit.
We're just trying to glow and grow together.
But honestly, all of your support is really appreciated. And we want to put on a really, really good show for you guys.
Also, guys, it's my birthday month, so I'd like to see you guys come out. Please, please, please.
27!
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a particular grace upon my life that I want to bestow. You know those, like,
you
those preachers?
Are insufferable.
You know those preachers? There's a particular grace in this year that I want to release upon the people, the community,
the women.
Did God
tell you to do that?
Hallelujah. So, sisters, we want to see the sisters in South Africa. Come out for us, please. Come shake a leg.
For sure. Other housekeeping announcements. In about 1 week, you're going to see something drop from us. Less than a week now, actually. Maybe two days. Yeah, this week. This week,
you're going to see something from us.
Yeah, you're going to see something from us. Very pretty. So exciting.
Very pretty.
Very pretty. You need to follow us on socials because we've been avoiding telling you this on the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, you need to follow us on socials and just see what it is we have to reveal to you guys. It's very exciting stuff.
Something is dropping like it's hot. Okay. So ladies.
That should be the intro to your EP.
Courtney.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Courtney, stop. Because I left that dream in 2023. Don't let me.
You said your word for the year is focus. Let me not derail you. Don't make me bring it back.
Don't make me bring the EP. Because listen, I've been listening to The Basement recently.
Oh, you know the intro, he's got the rap and stuff. He's don't a sick
me,
MC.
Don't let me come to you as a woman and say...
Get out of it.
Don't make me come to you, say, Courtney, we need to mix up. Drop it like it's hot. TMS.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
That can be the beginning
no,
for
TMS. No, can't.
That can be the beginning for TMS what? Hot takes. Hot.
Are you ready
like
to do
hot?
That every single episode?
Guys, you know what? Maybe it can be like a pre... You know, like
a
in
pre-recorded
Tim Ross's... Yeah, he's got all the
video.
Angles. Exactly. And he's got like the... What do you call it? He's in the booth setup and everything. We might have to do that, guys. Anyways.
Oh, Lord.
For my 27th year, I would like...
Who's going to produce this for you?
Ooh. Anyways, guys, moving on. I think the house is swept. The house is swept now. The house is swept. The house is
for
swept.
For real.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Now that the house is swept.
Clean.
It seems like we need to sweep the house of others.
Yeah, no problem.
Because a sister is in need.
No problem.
And we have a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Hello, sisters.
Hey, sis.
I love you guys and the impact you're making with this podcast.
That means a lot. Thank you.
So my dilemma is I used to talk to this guy I met on Tinder.
Okay.
Not long after our first date, we were always seeing each other. He would make long drives to come see me. We were always going out on little dates. I met his family and friends and was over at his house all the time. Mm-hmm. We later had a conversation about our intentions because things were moving pretty quick. All he said was long distance is hard. And after trying to get him to clarify if it's something he would do or not, which he didn't, I said how I was feeling at the time, which was, I don't think I could do long distance. Mm. He agreed with me after I said how I was feeling. That conversation had me confused because his actions and the things he would say would suggest that he wanted a relationship. Mm. He would always say out of the blue, you're going to come visit me, right? Or I will come see you and things like that to me. I want to clarify that I know the role that I played, how immature I was, and that I could have done a much better job communicating how I felt regardless of the outcome. Mm. But anyways, a couple of days before my flight, I meet up with him and we're talking. Things get emotional for me because I was really coming to grasp with the fact that I was moving away. Mm. He then gets emotional about the fact I was moving. We hug, he drops me off, then we go our separate ways. Mm-hmm. Now at this point, I've moved. But we would still text here and there. Mm-hmm. One night, I was thinking about the situation with him and I got upset, then I texted him something that was not kind out of the blue. He responded and I didn't text back for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. I realized what I did was mean and I apologized. He didn't respond all day and that made me feel anxious, so I blocked him.
Oh.
Now, like I said, I've done a lot of reflecting and realized where I went wrong.
Right.
At this moment that I'm writing to you, it's been 7 months since I last spoke to him. Mm. I'm moving back to the province I used to live in before I moved to live with my dad because my parents are divorced. Mm. There are many reasons why I'm moving back, but here's something I can't stop thinking about. Mm. I have two options. To get back in touch with him, apologize and see if he's willing to work through what happened with me because I did hurt him, or I move back and don't reach out to him at all and try to get over him. Mm. I can't make my decision because on one hand, I really like him and would like to try. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I feel like I put him through a lot and don't want to bother him because it's been a while and maybe he's moved on. Mm. Help.
Hey. this is interesting. I think if this is something your heart is struggling to let go, then it may be worth just being like, hey, I really understand that I have messed up and I didn't treat you in the best way, but I'm heading back home or I'm heading back near you. And I'd really love to just meet up to kind of see where we stand. Mm. Completely respect if you don't and you've moved on from the situation.
Yeah.
And you'd like to close that door, but I would love to just have a conversation with you. And I think in that conversation, you can go over, you know, how you were feeling at the time, what made you do the things that you did, say the things that you did. And I think really be vulnerable, and honest about, you know, these are the emotions that I was feeling. These were the, maybe the fears or the pains or the, whatever it was that kind of took you to that place. And I would say, as we often say, when it comes to having like these kind of intimate, vulnerable, transparent conversations, it's not to go in and be accusatory. You're not going in and being like, because you did this, you said this, you didn't do that, you didn't do this. Yeah. It's more so, this is how I felt. This is how I was interpreting the situation. This is what I was scared to lose. This is all of, this is what was going through my brain. And I think that level of transparency will help him to also get the closure and the understanding he may need on the other side. And if you both do decide, maybe let's try something, then it would be good to just be very clear around the fact that, are you going to be staying there for a while? Mm. Are you going to be moving away again? How does he feel about long distance if you do? How do you feel about maybe compromising and moving closer? It's now just getting on the same page with each other and having clarity to make sure each person is being heard. And not necessarily appeased, but at least considered, their feelings considered. However, you have to be open to, like you said, the fact that he may have moved on from the situation, maybe not onto someone else, but just away from this. Yeah. And that could be a very present reality. And I think you also need to be open to letting it go if it, that is the case.
Yeah.
You can't force anyone to engage with you. And so I think if he does, you know, say, I don't really want to have that conversation, don't really want to open that door again, I've kind of moved on, then I think respectfully gather your things and be going, sis, and move on. You know, it's sad sometimes when you lose someone who could have been the one and it feels like, oh, this is the one that got away. But also, I think this is an amazing learning curve, right? Mm. You've learned so much from this relationship about communication and maybe even what does not work. I'm not going to also negate the fact that there are probably, you know, amazing things that this relationship taught you on the more positive side, which is why you probably desire to rekindle that flame. Yeah. And so take all of those lessons from the good and the bad and implement it into your next dating stage, whether it is, you know, you've learned something new about your behavior in long distance relationships. And now, you know, this is for me, this isn't for me. If I were to do it again, it would look like this. And so I would say nothing is ever truly a loss, but you may not be leaving the situation with what you ideally want. It could just be that you leave with the wisdom you've gained, but I think that that's also a good thing to leave with. That's a good parting gift, if that should be the case. So I really love the self-awareness though. Mm. I love the consideration of, this is where I've gone wrong on my part. And I think that just shows a huge level of maturity anyway. And so you're definitely doing the whole glowing and growing thing. And I think no matter what, you will find peace in the situation. You just have to be open to, like I said, peace not looking like your ideal, if that is the case. Yeah. Also hold on to hope. He may be thinking about you too. You never know. So just make that first step and ask for that conversation and then take it from there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I love that. I think you covered all bases. I think it's always an uncomfortable thing to do when you have to basically be the transparent one, the vulnerable one first, especially to a guy.
a boy.
To a guy.
Yeah.
Normally we have this idea of like, you know, the prince coming over and saying, you know, I want you. Yeah. I need to be with you. But unfortunately in this situation, it's you that's moving back. And I think just the older we get, the more painful having regrets can become. So I think just for the sake of your future peace, whether it works out or it doesn't work out, it's always best to make sure that you open the door but then closed it firmly shut rather than leaving it half open.
That's good.
So make sure, as Courtney said, like, reach out to him. You know, I think the level of self-awareness that you have now means that you can have a more mature conversation if it does, you know, happen.
Absolutely.
I think also recognizing that as well, when you do reach out to him and say, hey, you know, I also want to apologize for the ways that I may have hurt you or harmed you, or, you know, some of the things that I may have said that were a little bit, you know, mean. So I think it really is about making sure that you come with humility and make your intentions very clear when you engage with him, that, you know, it's not even necessarily about you getting back with him, but just making sure that you close things or close that chapter with grace and with healing. And then if there is another chapter that could, you know, potentially come as a result of that, then that's great. If not, then, you know, you have to,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And you have to, I wouldn't say swallow the L, because I don't think it's a loss at all. I think it's great to get closure out of any situation. And I think it speaks to the maturity that both of you hopefully will be able to display. I think it speaks to the learning as well that you'll be able to gain as a result of this. And I think it also speaks to the intentionality that you'll probably have moving forward to, like, relationships, they can sometimes be tough. And I think that with the dynamic of the long distance and the lack of clarity that both of you had, and also you now identifying and knowing that, okay, I don't feel comfortable being in situations where there's a lack of clarity around intentions moving forward, at least you can take that learning and say, okay, with the next person, whether it's him or with somebody else, I know that I like clarity as to what are the intentions for this relationship. Are we going to be together? Are we not going to be together? Whether it's long distance or, you know, we're in close proximity, what's the outcome of this relationship that I want? And how will I pursue it with more intention, just so that there isn't any uncertainty or discomfort around that. So I think this is actually a really great opportunity. Lay your cards out, sis.
For real.
And if, you know, somebody stomps on your cards, pick them up and be going. But it's better, I'm telling you. Listen, the amount of people, especially older people, oh my gosh, I've been watching some of those, like, TikTok, YouTube videos where they'll interview, like, older people or, like, folks that, you know, talking about the ones that got away and stuff. The heartbreak.
Serious.
It's not even just necessarily, oh, you know, I lost the one, but it was more so, I wish I had tried harder.
Yeah.
So I think in this life, do not be ashamed or do not be discouraged from fighting for what you want. Mm. Even if it doesn't necessarily, you know, end up in you getting what you think you want, at least you tried.
Yeah.
That's the most important.
Yeah. I completely agree with that.
But sis, we are sending lots and lots of love. We are praying into that situation. I hope it's a positive close.
I hope so too. You know? I hope so too.
The guy, whether he, hopefully he acquiesces. Mm. My guy, if you're listening to this podcast episode and you've been thinking about this babe, and you're,
please you're reunite. Like,
do you know reunite?
She's sorry.
And give us an update too. Like, oh my gosh, guys. We'd love.
If you ever want to do like radio shout outs, you know how they used to call the radio? Can you please tell Jane I love her? If you ever want us to do that, just show us an email.
We'll actually do that.
I'm happy to do.
Oh my gosh.
Tunde. Shade says she's sorry.
Listen.
She's very sorry.
Listen, or if you need an apology. Or even
the guy. If you're the guy.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
If you want us to do a shout out to your babes, this is the place.
Honestly.
Send it to us. But you have to make sure that you've been behaving well.
Not us doing mail for the brothers.
Do you know what I mean? Oh my gosh, yeah. No, we could charge them.
Of course. Could just say he's sorry. Please. He said he misses your watching.
Yeah, stop.
What?
Maybe come back to me. I want the rice and stew. Can you imagine? Do you know how funny that is?
Oh, tea, my sisters, rekindling relationships.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, because we're going to have testimonials on our website.
1,000%.
Rekindled couples 1,000%. In 2024. Guys, if you have any broken relationships you'd like to mend, this is the platform for you.
This is the platform for you.
Come to us.
Ad slots will be open soon. Yeah.
New business venture.
New stream of income.
New stream of income. Well, sis, we are praying for you.
We
are hoping that you are able to move on, overcome all those nice words that we use for these things.
Yeah.
But moving swiftly on the point of overcoming.
Overcoming, that's a good segue.
Girl, I'll be trying, I'll be putting in work. Moving on to overcoming. So, we're in 2024.
We are. How can that even be? Sorry, even on that South Africa flyer, the way I put 2023... But
you know what?
Past.
Yeah. But also, God bless for the guys that
spotted it.
Yeah, spotted it and messaged us. So, like, hey, girlies.
So, is it this year or last year?
Did we miss it? And for some of you guys that were mean, God is watching you. God is actually watching you. Because we're going through a lot.
We actually are.
Instead of you to preface and say,
Guys, babes, I made that flyer at 1 a.m.
As
in the morning.
Fam. This one that couldn't even send it to me. I said, yeah, it's great. 6 a.m. in the morning. I said, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's good.
It's great. 6 a.m. Yeah, good. Instead of you to say, babes, I love you, but you said, the flyer, 2023, alarm.
Guys, we're just girls.
We
don't know.
We're trying. And when, you know, we get that executive team, I'm sure you'll be able to tell.
Yeah.
But even that, I was having this conversation with Courtney, how people think that there's some massive team behind TMS. Yeah. I want to reiterate strongly.
This is the team.
The team that you see. Everything is us.
Yeah. But also we do have amazing like collaborators and help. Like Sort of Chalet for our international trips, 84 World for like our podcast ads and brand partnerships, Miss Raquel, XV Events for our live shows, London honestly. Live events. So yeah, we have amazing partners. But when it comes to the day-to-day runnings of this thing,
it's
there's no
graphic
designer. There's no editor. There's no social media manager. It is us.
It is us.
Working our asses off.
CDBRK Studios.
Not CDBRK.
Studios. Emphasis on the studios. Everything you see was produced in-house. And when we say in-house, we mean
in our house. So literally grace, an in-house
grace,
production
grace please give us
but
grace.
Also be inspired by that, like you don't need a robust team sometimes to do incredible things, just some amazing sisters and collaborators and some really hard work.
That's the beginnings, which is why we always call our beginning phase of TMS. We're definitely in the middle when we have staff.
1,000% we've advanced.
Anyways, I think that's even great, you know, advancement, what it means to make progress. What it means to make progress, you know.
It's really giving crossfade into the conversation.
Crossfade. You know, anyways, let me stop doing suggestions. But you know, in PowerPoint, when you do all of those
transitions
and all that kind of stuff. January 2024.
Yeah, man.
Miss CDB.
Yeah.
How's it been going for you?
Okay, so no, it's really good actually, because I was thinking about this yesterday. I think I said this a couple of episodes ago, but like came out of the stalls just running.
Yeah.
And then God was like, "Whoa, why are you going so fast?
Stop.
Why are you going so fast?
Cease.
You can stop." And so I ended up catching whatever stupid sickness is out there ravaging the streets. And I really think that was an indication of like, you don't have to go so fast. But also I think with New Year goals, vision boards, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, new habits and stuff.
Yep.
It's easy to just want to be perfect from the beginning. So you implement all of these changes all at once and then you become overwhelmed and exhausted a lot earlier than you should be. So I think one thing that I've been really reflecting on recently is not just habit stacking, but like implementing habits in increments.
Yes.
You know, so this month, for example, I've been on my steps.
Guys,
if you follow me on Instagram,
like even me, I've been so inspired. There'll be times Courtney will come out and she's stepping, marching. Stepping. I'm like, what is the pitter patter of that feet? It's Courtney. She's getting those steps in.
I'm running all of the above to get these steps in. So yeah, I've been trying to stay consistent with my steps, but then a part of me was like, oh, I'm not really eating the best because like my schedule and I've been ill, so then the majority of like going to buy groceries, I've just been like, bun it, I can't do it. But then it was just kind of like, okay, but you've got the steps, it's okay, like it's all right. And now the same thing, like, oh, Bible in 1 year, and then I like fell behind by one day, and then my morning devotional, I hadn't done it, so it was like 3 days piled up on top of me. Thank God for Jackie Hill Perry. That devotional is one page per day.
Bless her.
I said, thank you so much, because I can catch up real quick.
Yeah.
But stuff like that, it's like it's easy to want to come down on yourself because you're like, oh, I missed this. The day wasn't perfect, but you did something.
Yeah.
And it's okay to make incremental changes. Yep. You know, that whole 1% better every day. Just give it what you got. Try to master one thing. And then we try again maybe next month or next quarter or next week.
Yeah.
And so I've been good. Like, I've actually been good. I'm so proud of myself for staying consistent and finding what works. But mm-hmm. it's also been me having to let go of this idea of like perfect execution,
yep.
and just holding on to the execution part. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's how it's been going. How about you?
I love that. I think, yeah, I love what you were saying actually around incremental changes, because there's such a big temptation to change your entire life in like 2 days because New Year's is coming.
Yeah.
And you lose momentum, you lose speed, you lose motivation. Facts. And then you feel like you're a failure because you haven't been able to live up to this unattainable standard that you set for yourself. So I absolutely love that. It's been going all right. Yeah. It's been going all right. I think what was really helpful at the beginning of this year was that I typically try to like start my habits like the week before New Year's. Right. So I feel like, oh, getting into January 1st, like I'm already on top of it, mate. I've got like a couple days behind me and all that kind of thing. And I think what I actually found quite challenging was being flexible. Mm. I think, again, overcoming perfectionist tendencies and saying, look, this is what I want my day to look like. And then priorities creeping up in my day, which means that I actually now have to be flexible.
Yes.
And I love your emphasis, even on the, it may not necessarily look like you doing exactly what you said you wanted to do, but at least doing something.
Yeah.
And I think prioritizing that, like prioritizing something. So like for me, obviously I love the gym, but there's days where like, I'm not going to be able to go 5 days a week. I can only go 4 because that Saturday we got something to do. So prioritizing, okay, I can't do this, but I can do something else instead that looks like me moving. Or if you're, you know, short on a particular day, what I love that you do, oh my gosh, guys,
my when roll Cordy, over.
She rolls over. She says, listen, me, if I miss that 10k steps, I will see you again tomorrow. But one thing about Courtney is if she gets to like 7k steps, tomorrow she's doing 30 to make up that deficit, right? Make up that deficit.
It's not over.
Do you know,
it's not over. 100%. Literally. yeah.
It's not over. It's not over, Jackie. It's not over till it's over.
100%. So
it's really seeing your days as like additive and not like the entirety of your schedule, right? Yeah. So even that is like, okay, if I've done the 7k steps today, then okay, tomorrow is another opportunity to try again.
Yeah.
And seeing every day as an opportunity to try again, as opposed to starting again. Mm. Like I have to start my entire routine. No, it's trying again. Mm. Let me see if I can become better by trying again the next day. So it started off positively, and I think I'm definitely embracing having habits that are flexible around like my life, habits that are flexible around the priorities that are cropping up, habits that are, because child, they're devotional. Ooh. Listen, do you know how heartbreaking Bible app, if you
Bible
miss
Bible app streak.
These last year, girl, I was all like, 200 and something.
Oh, you did so well.
Quickly, I was on 200 and something. Wow. I don't know what happened. That day was a hard day. And it's not that I didn't, you know, listen to the word or stuff like that.
To actually open the app.
Yeah. I said, y'all go take away 200 from me like that.
Yep.
Y'all go take away.
Yeah, they said it is what it is. And it's always around like 12:03 that you'll now remember. Yeah.
And heaven forgive me, I was definitely Googling, how do I reverse my phone so that I can still pick up the, do you know what I mean? Like, how can I, do I change my clock backwards and then open the app?
You know what you have to do? You can make the Bible app a widget on your iPhone.
Stop.
Yeah, you can make the Bible app a widget on your iPhone. Every morning it will show you the verse of the day. Mm-hmm. Just tap it and it will open the app for
you.
And you've got your streak. I know it's bad. It's bad. I know it's bad. You don't need to tell me.
Yeah.
But even if you just read your verse of the day, you opened your Bible.
There you go.
You know, so actually read the verse of the
there
day
you go.
And you'll get your streak. Just do it in the morning.
There you go. Also, can I just say, not to promote the Bible or anything, but that's what I've been called to do as a Christian. But, you know, studies have showed, scientific studies have showed that you are more likely to be happier, joyous. It actually impacts your life when you read the Bible regularly.
Yeah.
I believe the minimum is 4 times per week. The minimum.
According to science.
Yeah. So imagine if you did more than that. Daily practice, daily
the joy.
The joy. You'll be out here singing, mate, every day. You know, there's people that are insufferably happy. Speaking about how, you know, January has gone so far and thinking about, you know, habits and being graceful to oneself.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's really important to also talk about is self-sabotage.
Yeah, big one.
Like one of the reasons why it can be really difficult for us to be consistent with our habits and consistent with, you know, moving forward with the goals that we've set for ourselves is that we self-sabotage. I want to hear more. Like, let's converse. Let's chat. Like, what are some self-sabotaging tendencies that you might have, and what are some of the ways that you have either overcome or are continually trying to overcome?
It's a really good question. I think for me, the first one is just giving up because I failed the first time. So that's why I started implementing the rollovers, because it's like, you don't actually have to give up on yourself.
Yeah.
You just have to let go of this idea of the perfect thing, right? Like, the perfect thing would be for me to get the 10k steps in the whole day. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it hasn't been perfect, but it doesn't mean it can't be done. Mm-hmm, you can still do it. You just have to let go of this idea of it being packaged the way you want it to be.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that I do that is self-sabotaging is being like, oh my God, it wasn't perfect, so it's not good enough. Mm-hmm. And it's like, scrap it. Mm-hmm. So like you said, letting go of perfectionism. I think we hold ourselves sometimes to impossible standards, which means that we, in our own eyes, feel like we can never succeed.
Yeah.
And so allowing myself to be like, no, success can look like just me achieving it, you know, even if there's a backlog, if I can get through the backlog, which is sometimes harder.
Yeah.
Like the other day I had to do 18k steps in one day because I fumbled the bag. Fumbled.
That's a hype, mate. That's a very serious.
I actually did it. And it's stuff like that. It's just like my determination to just achieve and prove to myself I can do something.
Yeah.
To me is a greater marker of success than having done it perfectly the first time. And so, yeah, just being resilient, being determined to actually do something and show up for myself has been the cure for that. Like, yeah. Girl, just show up. You might be battered. You might be bruised. You may be a bit scuffed, or you may feel like, oh, it would have been better to do it the first time around. But it's okay. You've got another chance. And I think another way I self-sabotage myself is just believing in the lies I hear in my head.
Yeah,
so I don't know if you do this.
Yeah.
You're actually way better than me as a person. So I highly doubt that you do it. But sometimes I make scenarios up in my mind of things that have not happened.
Yeah.
And by God's grace will never happen. And then I get so angry because it's like, especially if I've like beefed somebody, like, yeah, I'm just like, oh, they're probably thinking this. And if this conversation happened like this, they would say this, they would say that.
No, don't kill me.
No, literally. Like, I play out a whole like argument or scenario in my head, and then I'm upset by something that has not happened.
Yeah.
And I think it's bad when it comes to the area of relationships in particular. Like this year, one of my goals is really being intentional about cultivating my intimate relationships and being a lot more communicative and vulnerable and honest, as well as just putting myself out there more. And I think one of the things that sabotage that is you putting on someone something they have not done yet, but that makes your walls go up anyway, right? This kind of, and it's fueled by the fears that you have and the undealt with concerns that you have. Like, you haven't expressed that thing you did suggested this to me, but now you're playing it out in your head as if that person's intention was to hurt you or to slight you or to do X, Y, Z. And so you're playing out the worst version of them in your head, and it's, I don't know if it causes some kind of like disconnect between who they actually are, but I think you kind of rob them of the opportunity of showing you what they really are, who they really are, and what they really felt in that moment. And so that's one element of self-sabotage which I really have to stop. And I think a lot of it is because I'm constantly thinking like, oh, what do people think of me? So I'm trying to get into someone else's psyche and see myself through their eyes. And I think oftentimes when we try to do that, we never really think the best.
Yeah.
We never assume the best of the person. We never think, oh, when this person sees me or thinks of me, they truly do care, or they truly do love me, or they truly do want my safety. We actually just think they're trying to take me for idiot. Do you get what I mean? Like, they must think this about me, which is often on the more negative side, at least for me anyway. And so I've been trying to tell myself, like, you're going to sabotage your relationships in that way. All of these assumptions, all of these fake scenarios in your head that you're allowing to run rampant are going to, one, drive you crazy, two, become paranoid and suspicious of people, and three, stop you from actually being vulnerable because you've already assumed how the conversation will go when 9 times out of 10 it's not going to go like that. And stop saying it's discernment. It's not, like, you're just suspicious.
you just suspicious.
Yeah, yeah.
You
and
just...
that's me talking to myself primarily. It's like, as an overthinker, it just happens a lot for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can find myself going into it subconsciously even. Mm. So it's more so being like, nah, if you feel like an emotion has arisen from a conversation, bring it up straight away. There's no need to go away and I'm going to ponder on it and I'm going to think, because you're going to drive yourself to this place of not trusting this person. So just bring it up there and then, especially as long as you can do it respectfully and not, you know, add more fuel to the fire. But sometimes we can't even get our words perfect. We can't even articulate ourselves perfectly, but it's necessary for it to be said. I think I even had a call with someone yesterday where I was like, they were like, oh, you know, we seem to not be in a place where we can end this conversation well. And I was like, you know what, fine, cool, I don't want to start shouting or anything like that. So we ended the call, and then a part of me was like, actually, if I go to bed on this, I'm gonna start overthinking things. So yeah, we ended up going back on a call and just being like, what is this hair on my lip? Sorry. We ended up,
the enemy said, you better
shut your mouth.
You know how they say the enemy will try to kill, steal, and destroy. Shush.
But yeah, a part of me was just like, no, I need to talk this out. So we ended up back on the call, and it was like, you know what, I may not be able to say this perfectly, but I need to say something.
Yeah.
And so I said it, and it was kind of like, oh, I didn't know you felt like that, or you interpreted this situation this way. Thanks for telling me. And now let me reassure you that that's not what it was. So that, like, giving people not just the benefit of the doubt, but the room to explain themselves, and not just stifling the relationship with my own assumptions. How about you?
That was a word for somebody, and that was
I try my best, man.
When I say word for somebody, I mean you. Yeah, she said, I try my best. I said, you speaking to, you know, you preaching to the converted. I definitely also have that tendency, catastrophizing.
Yes.
I go to the worst case scenario to almost protect myself, because I want to be prepared for disappointment. And I think it speaks to an unhealed wound, right? 100%. When you've been disappointed so many times in different areas of your life, you start to project disappointment onto other people and start to subconsciously prepare yourself to be disappointed by that person. And then you start to prepare yourself to be angry towards this person, even though they haven't created or done anything that warrants that behavior anyways. And that whole, I'm going away to process.
It doesn't always help.
Process. Are you really processing or just overthinking? Rest, beloved. You talk
just
too
speak.
Much. Speak.
Yeah, speak.
Open thine lips.
Verbalize.
And speak. Verbalize, right, your issue. And one thing that I actually also find tricky is...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
Is dealing with almost a sense of guilt at expressing myself. It's one thing to kind of, part of the reason that I go to do this whole processing thing is so that I can make quote unquote my peace with it and be the bigger person and all that kind of stuff. But I think when I think of like my childhood trauma and the fact that for a lot of my experiences, I wasn't able to articulate myself or didn't necessarily feel safe to. And then when I did, I was penalized for it. It's even a longer journey of, okay, now I've articulated myself. I now almost feel guilty for having the emotion. Or I feel guilty for requiring somebody else to make room for me. So another word that I have for 2024 is being unapologetic and not being sorry for my emotions or not being sorry to share how I feel, because subconsciously I'll be thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to articulate myself because I don't believe that that person can hold room for me. but it's necessary in relationships to make sure that somebody holds space for you.
Facts.
And I'm able to hold, strong friends, holding space for everyone, being a therapist for everyone. But the actual fear of sharing myself, because there is a fear that people won't, hold space for me. So that's definitely one of the ways that I self-sabotage. Saboteur, I am the saboteur. I am the saboteur. So that's definitely one for me. Mm. I think another way that I self-sabotage, as much as I can say, I've overcome my perfectionist tendencies. Mm-hmm. I've overcome the fact that, I don't have to show up perfectly every day. I'm still upset when I don't get to the end of my to-do list. Facts. I'm still upset when I didn't get to journal today. I'm still annoyed when things don't go to plan. And as much as I've grown and matured so that my responses have also grown and matured, I can't take away the emotion, like the actual feeling of disappointment in myself for not matching up to the mark that I set myself. And I think, as much of it is admirable to have, processed and created a response, you still have to deal with the emotions that arise.
Facts.
Lest they continue to stack up and stack up. And then at the end of, the month, you have resentment towards yourself that is undealt with.
Good.
So as much as I've been able to cultivate a almost default response that is grown and mature, internally, I'm still disappointed. Mm. I'm big mad. I'm big man. I get to 9,500 steps for the day. You telling me like Renee, what's good, man?
Yeah.
I'm looking at myself in the mirror like, girl, you better start stomping, but I'm tired and I'm upset.
Yeah.
And I wake up the next day and it's almost like I'm going to show you, Renee.
Yeah.
The Renee of yesterday. I'm going to be better than you. That's not a healthy way to
live. Exactly.
It's not a healthy way to live. One of the ways that I self-sabotage is having pent up resentment towards myself for missing the mark.
Thank you for being honest.
Well, we're trying to liberate people. On this show,
one thing that's really helped me with that, because something that's really helped me with that is almost gratitude. It's easy, like you said, to resent your past self for not coming through on something, and it's very rare that we're actually grateful to our past self for the little that they did. So like, well, thank you for Renee of yesterday for even getting up and doing 9,500, because you could have done nothing. You were well within your right to be like, I'm not going to do anything,
right?
And so I think it's even just celebrating ourselves a bit more. And as much as we know, but I'm more capable of doing this. Well, yesterday you clearly were, because you didn't, but you did what you could.
It's like,
calm down, you know? And also realizing that 100% every day doesn't look the same.
Mm.
I think we, especially as women, like even when we think about our menstrual cycle and the fact that there's a good 1 to 2 weeks in the month, especially if you have like a typical one, there's a good week, 2 weeks in the month where you are not at your best. Do you get what I mean? So comparing yourself to the person who was at the height of like hormonal balance, it doesn't actually help. Like your 100% then looked like going at 200 miles per hour, but your 100% now is really giving 40 miles per hour. But it's okay, relax.
As in, slow down.
Yeah.
Listen, girl, that luteal phase.
Boy.
Currently there, can I just say, when I say the spirit of argument entered into my soul. No, because you know when in your soul you are argumentative.
Yeah.
Argue, like I'm ready to fight. Someone will say something, I'm just like, but why did you say it like that?
Yeah.
And why have you thought this way? Clearly it's wrong. And clearly according to my spirit,
you're wrong.
Genuinely that time, guys, that's even that might warrant a whole wider
conversation
on how women's menstrual cycle can affect things. Your emotional proclivities, the way that you interact with people, fatigue, fam. I was in the gym, I was like, doing some squats, I said, I had been doing progression week one, week two, week three,
weakness. Actual weakness.
I said, baby, do you live?
do you live?
And I was like, people around, when you're quietly in the gym looking at everybody, because you also don't want to be caught looking at anybody because it's a bit creepy these days. So I'm looking around, I'm like, I hope these people that saw me like the week before and the week before that know that I'm strong.
Yeah.
I'm still strong.
Yeah.
I'm just going through some things right now.
Yeah.
But it is a biological reality 100%. For a lot of women that sometimes it's not even necessarily just about you yourself, self-sabotage, all that kind of stuff, but the biological reality of your capabilities 100%. At that time.
And also just your external circumstances as well. Like sometimes certain things come in conflict with our schedule or even with our emotions. You know, we can't anticipate everything. You can't anticipate that person giving you bad news or that person needing you to drop something to be there for them, or you just having a sad day, you know. No one ever plans for these things, but when it does happen, I think it's important for us to just give ourselves compassion and look at ourselves not as machines. I think when you are a perfectionist, you kind of see yourself as a bit robotic. Like life should be quite formulaic. My input should be this, my output should be this. But you're more complex than that. You're not a machine. And I think we expect more from ourselves than anyone, than God, than we should. Do you get what I mean? So I think gratitude. Gratitude and celebration, sorry, really does help with that. Like, you've done what you could, and well done for that.
I think also take, like you said, like taking it day by day. I think we're always thinking so far into the future that we forget to really be mindful and present and enjoy the present. You are where you are right now. And we don't give ourselves permission to be happy until we've achieved something momentous. That was something that I really struggled with. I would wait. I'm like, I need to make sure that I've hit this particular percentage of my goal before even a squeak of celebration. But sometimes it is getting to the end of the day and saying, I did that. I'm happy with myself. I'm proud of myself.
Or at least I choose to be.
And then also making sure that the timing of when we celebrate ourselves is not aligned with social validation. I think there's also that temptation to wait until there's some kind of demonstrable results to other people to celebrate yourself. Like, don't wait to celebrate yourself by posting, you know, on social media. Sometimes just celebrate yourself internally or by yourself. 1,000%. It's actually okay.
Give yourself that pat on the back. Like, it's actually okay to recognize your achievements and not need external validation, but really validate yourself internally. But you know what, something that triggered in my mind, I also think it's because the personal development, self-help, success space is so hyper masculine and like it's like, nah, you must be a soldier. Roar, beat chest. Exactly. War cry. And you feel like, so if I don't have that same attack the day mentality.
Sorry, do you know how funny that is?
No, like really follow what I'm saying. Like, if you don't have that same, like, oh, I'm gonna attack the day, I'm gonna be hard, you know, 75 hard, 150 hard, the hardest of me, the strongest. I'm being serious. If you're not having that approach, it's like, oh, am I even hungry for success? Like, relax. Yes, you are. Do you get what I mean? And so I feel like it's because, and also a lot of the content you watch from that space is very like, stop making excuses. You got to do, I'm a human. And I think that's the thing, like people, so exactly, it's like, be nice to yourself. People associate that with being quite like feminine, a feminine soft approach. How do you believe you can grow that way? And it's something that I was actually meditating on yesterday because I was reflecting and I was like journaling and I was like, oh God, like this month I haven't been as hard on myself. And I think it was because I feel like I'm seeing a more nurturing side to God and a more nurturing side to myself, which is a lot more gentle, loving and understanding than it is pushing. Do you get what I mean? And I think a lot of us are used to our personal development being defined by push, push, push. And it's like, nah, sometimes just cease. Like, it's okay to take it slow. It's okay to not go hard. It's okay to be soft. It's okay to not go fast. It's okay to be slow. Like, progress doesn't have to look like running all the time. It doesn't have to look like, oh, but you know, wipe your tears and just get over it. And you know, like that very like just go get a run, hike, do a million things in order to prove that you are successful. And it's like, actually no, you can take, you can be way more nurturing with yourself. You can actually be a lot more understanding and compassionate to yourself. And that does not look like being weak. Actually, it looks like understanding yourself enough to know how hard to push yourself before you can break. And I think a lot of us don't recognize that, like, we're pushing ourselves a bit too hard. Mm. And what I mean by pushing yourself too hard, it's not that you're not achieving your goals, is that you are losing an appreciation for yourself in the process. Yeah. You're losing a love and a compassion for yourself in the process, yeah. right? You're seeing yourself as just almost like a failure. Mm. And every day you're trying to do your best to prove to yourself that you are not a failure, mm. instead of realizing that you're a person on a journey who shouldn't be resented yeah. for the smallest failure, right? But that's how people frame personal development sometimes. It's like, oh, if you don't do this for yourself, you're a failure, you're a disappointment, you're disgusting, you're this, this, that. And it's like, how can you say those words about yourself because you didn't tick a particular thing on a yeah. to-do list? Mm-hmm. Like, but then tomorrow, if you did tick all of that stuff, suddenly you think you're the best person in the world. You can't switch your mind that quickly from I'm trash to I'm amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to have this kind of, at least this basic constant, which is I'm a human that's trying. I'm always deserving of love. I shouldn't talk to myself in certain ways. I shouldn't view myself in certain ways. I am not worthy of my own resentment. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, I'm not worthy. Mm-hmm. of my own disparaging, like yeah. I should be the greatest advocate for myself, or at least the safest place for myself. This place in my head should be the safest space for myself. Do you get what I mean? Hmm. I can't beef you if you were to call me an idiot, but then in my own head I'm calling myself an idiot.
Yeah, and embarrassing.
These things of like self-talk have been one of the things I've been quite particular about, because there are just certain things I shouldn't say about myself, especially if I wouldn't accept it from anybody else, or I wouldn't dare utter it yeah. to somebody else. Why would I say it to myself? Like, even small things, like sometimes, like when we do something, we're like, oh, you're such an idiot. And it's like, no, I'm actually not. Yeah. Like, I'm actually capable of making a mistake. Do you get what I mean? Or this is a very normal thing. Why are you insulting yourself for not closing the door or not turning off the light or forgetting something in your room? Do you get what I mean? Like, no. You are allowed to make mistakes. You are allowed to fall short. You're allowed to just try.
Yeah. That's all you can do in this life. Just try.
Just try.
And hope for the best.
Facts.
Because you actually can't die. Can't come and die. You can't come and beat yourself. You can't come and
kill yourself. And that doesn't mean you don't hold yourself accountable and you right. pamper yourself out of responsibilities. But it is to say, beating yourself up about it also is not as productive as you think.
And the thing is, it doesn't produce anything sustainable. If there's one thing that I've found, this whole self-negative talk yeah. does not produce anything that is useful to me yeah. anyways. Because now I am, you know, running or doing things to avoid meeting myself. It's almost like having an abuser inside you.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't escape it.
Exactly.
And the thing is, when you do have an abuser in a place that's supposed to be called home, you will find yourself trying to avoid home, trying to avoid yourself, jumping yeah. into relationships that you shouldn't be yeah. In, jumping into things and, you know, coping mechanisms that are negative and are essentially opportunities for you to escape yourself.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is. I think most people that have things like addictions or are in toxic relationships are in situations that they shouldn't be in. I think a lot of that behavior is indicative of very low self-esteem.
It's escapism,
exactly. And it is necessary to repair your relationship with yourself before going elsewhere and going outside, because then you create dependency on all of these things that you really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Then you create dependency on things and people that are going to fail you in the long run anyways. And heaven forbid you end up with people or things that are like causing you to die, like things that actually speed up yeah. the loss of yeah, life. Yeah, yeah. Things that we get involved with, coping mechanisms that we have that genuinely shorten our life and decrease our, you know, quality of life. Yeah. So I think it's very important to have a good relationship with self. I love that you said that I'm capable of making mistakes.
I am.
I need everybody to just say, hello.
I am.
I'm capable of making mistakes.
I am. And it's so, because people be like, no, God forbid. Hey, it's God who even understands that most.
Why are you thinking around?
Do you get what I mean?
Like, he around because he know you're going to make a mistake.
And then oftentimes when we, from a faith or a spiritual perspective, like when we tell ourselves that no, I must be perfect. You're doing that from your own strength.
Yeah.
That will never work. And it will completely shatter your world when you realize, oh my gosh, I am able to actually make mistakes.
Yeah.
And you do something where you feel like, oh, so that's why so many of us are struggling to forgive ourselves, struggling to even forgive other people. Because when you hold yourself to such a high standard, you tend to project that onto other people.
Absolutely.
And so when they fall short, especially those closest to us, and I think we've talked about this recently, like you start to think, but I would have done it this way. Why don't you do it that way? And it's like, because I'm a person. Do you know what I mean? And so a lot of us are being told, no, don't settle in friendships. Don't settle. But what they're telling you is don't have endurance. Mm. Don't have patience. Don't have compassion. Don't give grace. Don't be merciful. Mm. Do you get what I mean? All in the name of you deserve to be happy. You deserve to have this. And it's like, nah, people are capable of falling short. Nobody is God. Nobody is perfect.
Right.
But the beauty of faith is that you are doing life with someone who is perfect, who can empower you to progress closer towards perfection. Mm. But it's also very understanding of your weakness and very compassionate of your weakness. There's this scripture in Hebrews, which like really comforts me, that we do not have a high priest who has not felt or who has not basically felt pain like we have, or has not been tempted. But though he has been tempted every way, he is without sin. But we have a high priest that can identify with our suffering, who can identify and be compassionate and empathetic towards us. And a lot of us lack empathy towards ourselves and towards other people. And I think generally with like cancel culture and the ability to just be viewers of the world and not necessarily partakers in justice, you lack empathy, right? Empathy can become performative. Empathy can become virtue signaling. But true empathy, which leads to compassion, we lack, right?
So much.
This idea that actually I understand your weakness. I understand your pain. I understand your grief. I understand why you go to pick coping mechanisms. A lot of us don't even demonstrate that because we lack it for ourselves, right? Like we lack an understanding of our fallibility as human beings. So I think it's, you know, we have all these affirmations. I am strong. I am this. I am deserving. But also realize that you are a whole bunch of things as well.
Exactly.
And that's okay. That's actually okay.
Exactly.
It doesn't define who you are, but it does explain or describe this part of your story. And so when you neglect that, you're neglecting a whole bunch of context, a whole bunch of things which would give you compassion for where you are in life. And I think, I just think we need to show ourselves more compassion, man.
We need to be nice people, man. 100%. Genuinely be nice people. And it makes me think of, you know, when you take a test and there's certain boundaries for you to get like an A, a B or a C. I think it's understanding that to get the A, you won't have to get the 100%. Like there will be some days where you get the 98 or the 95, even the 85. Some places it's a 70. You know, there's some.
The hard ones.
Yeah. The hard ones are, you know, it's a 69 to get a pass in the upper echelons and whatnot. But it's striving to be better.
Yeah.
It's striving to be good. It's striving to be a lovely person. It feels even unfortunate that we have to come on these platforms to remind people to be nice, to remind people to be kind, to remind people that, you know, strangers have humanity and they're going through things. I think we've become so out of touch. We've dehumanized people so much that to even fathom that somebody is going through something and medicates or finds a way out that doesn't look like you is beyond our comprehension. Like, we're like, what? Why have you not done this in the way that I expected you to? Exactly. Why? Like, why?
Because
like,
we do it to ourselves most.
Guys, wrap it up. Yeah. But the thing is, even with that whole like being judgmental, I find it so hilarious because it's the people that hold you to the highest of standards that are falling the most short of them. Like I see, even when I think of online, right, when people like dogpile on other people for falling short of the mark or doing something problematic, I'm just thinking, some of you guys stink.
Lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, actually stink.
Lack of self-awareness.
In your day-to-day life, in some area in your life, especially in private, some of us are falling short.
Yeah.
So to have the gall, you
the
know,
absolute gall.
The gall, what is it? The gumption, you know, to come in public platforms to denounce somebody else, I think is a startling and shocking reminder of the poverty that befalls the human race right now. It's actually so sad. Empathy.
Yeah.
to experience what it means to be in somebody else's shoes, to really feel that and actually extend a hand of grace, is T for tight. And it's not to say, as you were saying, it's not to say that this is a deference of accountability, but it's understanding that with accountability comes grace, comes love, comes acceptance, comes rehabilitation.
Yeah, and a willingness to do the journeying with the person as well.
So many people ready to pass judgment, but rehabilitation. So to close us out, I guess, I would love to hear something that you would impart to the sisters right now that are going through it. They started off their year pretty strong. Things are starting to shake a little bit. Timelines are being extended. People are self-sabotaging. They're going through the muck. What are some of the ways, approaches, mindsets that they can now be tapping into to start to extricate themselves from what feels like a mess and what feels like being caught between a rock and a hard place?
You will, firstly, I think, appreciate what it is you have done so far.
Right.
And the sheer desire alone to want to be better is a great indication that you're moving in the right direction. The second thing is, what is your actual game plan and what is the easiest thing you can just start with? I think stop expecting yourself to, let's even take like the lifting example. Yes, you want to have, let's say, 100 kg or like a 200 pound deadlift, right? But you won't start there. If that's the goal, what is the first step? What's the beginning? Maybe it's just, let me pick up the bar and let me just get my form. Right. Before I even load on plates on either side, let me just get my form correct. Get the, you know, bar. Is it moving in the right direction? Am I in the right position? How's my feet? All of these things. How can I do this in a way that is starting with the fundamentals, getting the right foundation? So really thinking to yourself, what is the point of entry here for me, right? It could be that, yes, last year I was doing really amazing things. Okay, cool. Let's just, like you were saying, the last week of the year is your, let me just start. Let me get into my stride. What is me getting into my stride? It could look like just repeating the things that I know I already have down.
Yeah,
you know, if I know that every day I want to read 20 pages of a book, but so far I've even been struggling to pick up a book, maybe this point, the starting point for me is pick up a book and read one page. Just one. And for us, we think, no, but that's not impressive. Are we trying to be impressive or are we trying to last? Do you get what I mean?
We're trying to stay standard by the end of the year.
Do you get what I mean? So I think it's also seeing that, right? 2024 is a whole 12 months long. 2024 is not just January. 2024 is not just when people say Happy New Year. 2024 is 12 months long. We're only 3 weeks into the year, honey. We're 4 weeks into the year. And so allow yourself to take those beginning steps. So it could just be that you've been overwhelmed by all the goals you set. You've been pressuring yourself with perfectionism, which is unachievable. So really reverse engineer, what is the beginning for me? Maybe it's just read one page, do you know what I mean? Or read your verse of the day, or, you know, do 1,000 steps.
Just 1,000.
It doesn't need to be impressive. It doesn't need to dazzle everybody. It doesn't need to be, oh, people are really going to affirm me. No, you just need to know for yourself, I said I'd do something and I did it. It's that simple. And the more you build up the confidence that is, I said I'd do this and I did it, showing up for yourself and being integral, the more you'll be like, okay, I can take on more, you know. But I do want to say, in terms of the mindset thing, as you say you will take on more, also make the planning to make sure more is doable. So one thing that we often do is we set an ambition, but we don't think about if it's going to be realistic or how we can accommodate for the difference.
That's good.
Do you get what I mean? So for example, with my steps, I said that each week I would add 1,000 steps. So it was just like, okay, 10,000 steps, I did this. But now in order to get 11,000 steps, I need to allocate an extra 10 minutes somewhere in the day. So the same amount of time I was allocating last week, it's not, or the same strategy I was implementing last week is not going to work for this week. So either I need to walk faster or I need to find an extra 10 minutes in my day to get that extra 1K. Now, it's the reality of the situation. 100%. That's the reality of the situation. What worked now needs to be revised. Mm-hmm. So I think it's also saying, if you are going to ramp up your goals, or say, what's the plan now? What's the new strategy? With new goals comes a new strategy. Mm. The old thing is not going to work anymore. Mm. You've got to think about what's the new thing that will make this thing work. Yeah. And so also sit down with yourself and don't just aimlessly set yourself goals, but actually plan. What is the plan? What is actually going to allow for me to succeed at this, so that I'm not just saying empty words, but I'm actually taking action. And all of these things are very simple things we already know, but it's oftentimes the things we fail to do because of our zeal. We are just excited to get these things done. Honey, the things will not get done. You will end up winded, tired, and burnt out. That's a recipe for disaster. So plan, take the time. It could be 5 minutes. It might even be a whole day. It could be a week, to just plan out, how's the business going to work? How's the extra money going to be made? Where's the time going to come from? How are the extra steps going to fit into my day? Whatever your goals are, just ask yourself how. Once you figure that out, I think all of us are capable of taking the actions necessary.
I love that. I think it's so important that you revise your strategy. I think we walk into the year thinking, this is how I'm going to achieve this. And then circumstances will come, things will change. And understanding that what you did to get to where you are right now is not what's going to take you to where you want to go next. It's important, guys. It's like when you're making a journey, like, obviously you've got the end destination, but what took you from where you are to the first leg of your journey, you're going to have to go further or do something different. So I absolutely love that. And I agree with everything that you said. I think in terms of approaching setbacks, I think the first thing that I would say and to add is zoom out. Zoom out. Because, you know, when you zoom into a bar graph or any chart of or whatever, and you see the little dips, but then you zoom out and you see, there's a progression still. Understand that you can still make progress from a setback, but you need to zoom out, step back, and really understand, what is the nature of the setback? Is this something that has completely deterred my course? Or is it just something that I can deal with tomorrow? Or it's something that I can, you know, overcome tomorrow? So not seeing your setback as the end, but seeing it as an opportunity. How can I leverage this setback? What am I learning about myself? If it is that I have caused this setback, what am I learning about myself and how can I use it to my advantage? I think so many times we see our setbacks or our tendencies as a disadvantage, but it's really great information, right? So one thing that I know about myself, I like sweet things. I like ice cream. Yeah. Guys, if you see our freezer, just ice cream, just Magnums. Like, if you ever came to this house and said, oh, I want an ice cream, I will have it for you. Whether I will give it to you will depend on how God has revealed himself to me that day. But I know I like sweet things. And I know that I have a tendency to overindulge on sweet things should the opportunity arise. Rather than beating myself up about it and saying, oh, okay, I'm never going to have a sweet thing again because I know that that's my like weak spot, I incorporate that into my daily enjoyment. I like to enjoy things. I think it's that as well, right? Like, understanding that setbacks present really great information, and also you can improve your quality of life by leveraging the information that you get from a setback. I really enjoyed my days. Now I know that I have an ice cream that's allocated within my, you know, my budget. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, what else do I really, really like? I'm really in love with peanut butter right now. You know, like being able to allocate that within the scope of my day so that I can still enjoy whilst not doing too much and going overboard. Of course, there may be days where I have like two ice creams or like, you know, entirely too much peanut butter, but peanut butter is great. So hey ho. But using that information to your advantage and to strengthen you for your next season is really, really important. And I think slow down if you can afford to after a setback. I think of when you get injured, think of a runner that's running a race, right? You get injured, there's the temptation to carry on. But that kind of thing, if you don't stop, you are going to end up with a torn Achilles, a torn hamstring, a torn something. You can still finish the race, but you need to stop and deal with the wound. If a wound has appeared, if a setback has appeared and it's been made manifest as a wound, you need to deal with the wound first before you continue with your journey. So if you've been wounded, if someone has hurt you, if you've hurt yourself, if you've been going through something and you think the answer is to continue, it's not, it's to stop. Stop and deal with it first.
That's so good. I wanted to add one more thing as well. Like, I think one thing that can play in your head so tough when you feel like you are failing is comparison.
Yeah.
And oftentimes you're comparing yourself to people whose day-to-day actions you do not see. When it comes to like social media, even our greatest heroes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We compare ourselves to the condensed story of their life, but we are aware of the full story of our own lives. The fact that you woke up a little late today, you didn't, you know, go for your goals today. And so we start to think, I don't have what it takes, but that person is clearly doing it because every day they must be going hard. And it's like, no. You know the condensed story. You have the highlight reel. You have the insight into the moments that really mattered, right? And you begin to think that that's every day. No, everyone's life is actually made up of the mundane and then the key moments that shift things, right? The mundane is waking up, cleaning your room, doing the groceries, praying, doing all these things that you just have to do on a daily basis, which make you that 1% better.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of us are just privy to the accumulation of all of that, right? The person who gave that really great sermon, or the person that won that award, or but you didn't see the emails that they just send on a day-to-day for their work, the planning they're doing in their journal, the fact that they had the ice cream, all of these things. You don't see the mundane stuff, and so you think that these people are superhuman and you're just a normal mortal being who's incapable of any success.
Like, you ain't got nothing.
Do you get what I mean? And it's like, no, you think that you're just a normal human who's failing because you see the everyday sequence of your life. You don't get to see that for most people. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to realize that actually even your fave, Beyonce, is probably somewhere sitting in her pajamas right now, just being like, I don't want to do anything today. Like, and we struggle to think, oh, she'll be capable of that. And it's like, she's a human like you. It's just that she doesn't have a camera on her in that moment, but she does when she's, you know, at the Super Bowl or doing a world tour. Do you get what I mean? And so just don't compare your story to the highlight reels of other people. Don't compare your story to those, you know, moments that are so defining, because you will have your moments that are defining as well, but you also have your moments which are just mundane. And let me tell you, everybody has that. Like, your fave has a mundane day.
Listen.
Right?
Day-to-day
life.
The success is really found in mastering the day-to-day.
Simple.
It's not when you...
Mastering the mundane.
There's the manifestation, which is what everybody celebrates, right? The things you see on social media. But then there's the mastery behind that of the everyday. It does look like waking up and drinking your water and taking your, you know, multivitamins and whatnot. It does look like, you know, doing your groceries, making sure that your place is swept. And it's okay if those things don't happen on an occasional basis.
They won't. For most people, for the people who you even think, oh, every day something amazing happens to them, that's just for a season. It will just be for this season of their lives. And that's not wishing bad on anyone. That's just how the world works.
It's the reality.
Seasons come and seasons go. There will be a season where it seems like every day that person is having something good. Yes, because they're currently on that spiral. Do you know what I mean? But at some point, the momentum does stop. No one is driving 100 miles per hour all the time.
And also, people lie. People lie. No, but honestly and truly, there's a lot of things that we see online and I'm just like, y'all gonna sit up here and lie like that?
Yeah.
Because then you hear, like, again, not wishing bad on anyone. I'm also speaking from the hindsight of other people.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you see these wonderful relationships and there's like, they're in the divorce.
Yeah.
You see these wonderful achievements, they've gone to jail for fraud.
You'd rarely see the full picture. That's the thing. You don't see the full picture. So everyone's making a feature film of
there
their life
go.
On social media. They're not showing you a documentary.
There so, you go. But the one story that you need to invest in is
your own story. Your own story, man.
And of course, the story of To My Sisters.
L-O-L.
So on that note... On that note, sisters, we love you, we care for you, and we pray that as you step into this new week, you will be filled with momentum, that you have the momentum to whatever setback you have experienced, whatever failure that has been keeping you down. We pray that this is the week that you get right back up.
Amen to that.
You overcome.
Yeah.
And you keep it stepping.
Come on.
Hot steppers. We're stepping into, guys, you can't step into February, my birthday month, right? You're just being held back. Okay. We're uprooting all bondages.
Yeah.
Like I said at the beginning of this episode, there's a special grace in February that I want all of the sisters to partake in, not just myself. I'm dispersing the glory, dispersing the glory, disperse, disperse. But if you want to further partake in the glory, you can follow To My Sisters on every single platform, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. Everywhere.
Literally everywhere.
Don't lose out. Everywhere.
Yeah.
At To My Sisterhood on all platforms. Please, 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 please. Don't be a loser. You can be a winner by following us. Okay? And of course, my wise, my wonderful, my excellent bestie over here to the left of me.
Hi.
Follow her on all platforms at CD Boateng. And of course, catch up with your favorite girl at Renee Kapuku.
We love to see it. And make sure you sign up to our mailing list,
We
will send you a weekly newsletter full of glowing and growing tips. It's basically our love letter
literally
to you, yeah? And so you can sign up to that on our website, tomysisters.com. As we mentioned, ticket to the South Africa live show will be linked down in the description as well as in the podcast show notes. If you're out there, sisters, come and rock with the girls. We cannot wait to see you. And we just hope that you have a splendid week. As always, keep glowing and growing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.